Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Commander Clash podcast, where the Commander Clash crew talks all things Commander. And we got a good one this week. We are going to be tier ranking some spot removal, which I'm pretty excited about because we did this once before a long time ago, back in like 2020 or 2021 or something, years and years ago. And a lot has changed since then, both in new cards being printed and in our evaluations of some of these cards. So I'm pretty curious to see how we think differently about spot removal 4 or 5 years after we first did that. But I'm getting ahead of myself. We got a crew to introduce, kicking things off with Brewer's Kitchen, Phil. Good morning, Phil. How's it going today?
Hey, all. I don't play spot removal except for one, maybe two, depending on how we define this.
In some ways, this is like the weirdest tier list for us to do because we do have a pretty mixed relationship with spot removal on Commander Clash. Some people play it, some people don't play it. At least Richard's not here because he would just D-tier everything, you know, everything's across the board. We also have Budget Commander Tomer. How's it going today, Tomer?
I'm doing well. I have evolved my opinion on spot removal over the years, and there's certain ones that I value much higher this year than 2024 me would have. 2024 me would be like, what are you cooking? Because it's crazy. But I feel like I can sell you guys on some hot new tech. Old tech.
Yeah,
hot old
tech. There's some good ones out here for sure. We also have Krim, the Asian Avenger. Good morning, Krim. How are you today?
I'm pretty good. I mean, I probably love spot removal the most, right? So, I can't wait to go over this because it's funny to see some of the stuff that we talked about prior. And
he's been crushing us this season, by the way. So maybe spot removal isn't that bad. I don't know.
Heavy interactions, not bad.
That's with treasure nabbers and ley lines. Okay. That doesn't even count right. Spot removal. Anyway, before we get to the tier list, we got a couple of sponsors today. Our show is brought to you by Foil Armor. Do you ever have problems with your foils curling? Well, Foil Armor is the ultimate solution to flattening your foils. It's a two-way humidity pack that you simply put inside an airtight container with your cards, and Foil Armor will absorb and release moisture, making your cards completely flat. Put it back in a storage box to keep your cards flat forever, and you can head over to foilarmor.com and use the code MTGGoldfish to get 15% off. Today's show is also brought to you by Card Conduit, the easiest way to sell your Magic cards. If you ever get tired of the hassles of buy listing, you can skip them with Card Conduit. You can use your curated service via sending as many cards as you want with a buy list value of a dollar or more and pay just a 5% service fee. And if you want to do a bit of work, you can use a sorted service where you list and sort your cards in advance and pay just a 2% fee. Either way, you're going to get a detailed report with the results and a fast payment once your order is processed. And you can even get another 10% off by heading over to cardconduit.com/MTGGoldfish. Card Conduit, it's the easiest way to sell your Magic cards. So thank you to our sponsors for supporting the show. And now it's time for the comment of the week. So last week, we brought Richard back for a podcast to discuss the Soulstone and Utility Mana Rocks. And our top comment comes from at Red Comet Nurse, who says, I was expecting a psychotic corner case argument from Richard, and I was not disappointed.
Yep. It's crazy.
I love to be on your
side on this one again because... I can't believe this.
Richard brought the heat, that's for sure. We had some good Richard takes if you missed last week's episode involving Ugin's and All Into Dust and oh my god, the Richard logic.
And
but anyway, let's tier rank some utility mana rocks. I'm stuck on last week. Some targeted removal spells. And the way we're going to do this, we got an actual tier list. We tier listed like almost 40 cards. I'm going to post a link to that in the description if you want to see all of our rankings. But we're going to try to get through like almost 20 cards today that are some pretty interesting ones. And let's start with, I would say, perhaps the easiest card on the entire list. And we're going to start with everything in the B tier. But card number one, Swords to Plowshares. 1 mana white instant. Exile the thing, you gain a bunch of life equal to its power. What do we think about swords? I know we've had a bit of an up and down relationship. If Richard was here, he would be saying you shouldn't be playing swords. I went through a not playing swords stage, but I am definitely fully back on the swords train at this point. So for me, it's back to S tier. But I'm curious, where are you guys still swords believers?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
The only one I play.
I never stopped believing.
I was Richard Pilled for a very long time. It was literally out of all my decks, and I just put it back now because my culture deck is now mono white with Cloud.
Oh,
and
ooh, that's a
nice I was just
deck.
Like, wow, this Swords card is actually pretty good.
Yeah,
it's good at not dying actually for one mana. So yeah, I'm back.
Crim good
but
me.
A. Yeah,
Krim. Yeah, Krim. Wait. I feel like you got me with an Eldrazi or an indestructible creature like 6 months ago on Commander Clash, and I put swords back in my deck the next week, and I've been running it ever since. So you've had an influence on my deck building. So where are we putting this then? I mean, A tier, S tier?
Yeah, I'd say S.
I think that's still an S, right? One mana. On top of that, like it's the one card that, for some odd reason, I feel like I never want to see an opponent having. And so like it is like the thing I fear the most when I see one white mana. So yeah, I think it's still the
people
best.
Aren't as
one of the
dirty
best.
With it as they can be. I mean, we talked about this a lot, but if you want to anchor shoot, which might increase your win rate if your opponent plays a must kill commander, just sorts their commander early and then have them struggle the rest of the game. It sucks for them, but if I play Lornus, it's probably the thing to do, and people do it, and I say, damn it.
It's the most important card type to hit, so and good. It gets around indestructible. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And it's one mana. It's the most mana way of doing it.
Of all the ones that you want to fire off on your own creature, I mean, Richard made the argument of what's the other one? Path to Exile is better. I don't think you want to do this unless it saves your life. And I think this one is the one that actually saves your life, because when you get attacked for lethal, this one you can sort your own creature, gain some life. I've come to the conclusion that nobody ever does the land thing. I know. You always say,
you
can pass
on creature. Next one. Okay. Exile. It is better.
So
I'm gonna
put swords in S tier because it's the one removal spell Phil actually plays, and that probably makes it S tier on its own. But let's move on to its friend Path to Exile, which already came up. So Path to Exile, it's Swords to Plowshares, except rather than life being gained when you exile something, you get to ramp a basic into play tap. So one mana, exile a creature. Its controller gets a basic land from their library into play tapped. Where are we on Path to Exile? So personally, I play Swords again. I still don't play Path to Exile in most decks. I do once in a while. So I'm kind of B tier on it, but I'm curious where you guys are at with this one. Is this anywhere near as good as Swords?
This is better than Swords. I'm telling you.
For the ramp purposes?
So it's all, if you are in a tokens deck, I'm telling you, if you are in a tokens deck and you have ones laying around, play Path. It's a one mana rampant growth in a token deck. You don't put it anywhere else. Don't run it anywhere else. But if you're in a tokens deck, you got ones laying around. You're playing like Adeline or something. Who cares about a one?
And then you die.
What? Like, no. If you need all your one
removal spell,
I really wish I had that Path. I mean, how many times does that actually happen, though, Tomer?
Never happens.
I like it on paper. In theory, in my brain, it's like, oh, that's really cool, one mana rampant growth. But I can count on maybe one hand the number of times I've actually seen someone do that in a real game of Commander. So do you actually find it coming up, like, fairly often in those decks?
Yes. And also, but it also doubles as a sort of plaster. Not as good, because it gives them a land.
Right,
unless they don't run any basics.
This good against Richard. Good against
I'm sorry. That is the... This, I find myself never, ever doing that. The value on doing that is so low, right? There's no way that you are ever, like, okay, I would rather remove, like, your creature than mine. Why would I do that?
Rampant growth.
Okay, how about this? I think Tomer's argument makes sense, but I think that argument would also put it in the B tier. Because isn't B tier kind of like good in specific decks rather than being good in every deck? So I can see the argument that in like mono white tokens, you're going super wide, it's going to be good there. So can we compromise? How about B? Can we put it
any
in B? I know you're even lower on that.
I don't even think that's good in a token deck.
Bro.
Do this.
I'll take a B, whatever.
All right. Let's stick it in B for now. Next up, we have a whole group of cards that we're going to cheat a little bit and put them all together because we rank them all exactly the same and they are pretty similar. Although, I'm missing one of them. Well, maybe that's fine. So these cards are Beast Within, Generous Gift, and Chaos Warp. So these are all 3-mana instant removal spells. Beast Within and Generous Gift are actually exactly the same card, except one's white and one is green. 3-mana. Blow up a permanent, its controller gets a 3/3 token. Chaos Warp is 3-mana, it's you target a permanent, it gets shuffled into its owner's library, and they get to look at the top card of their library. If it's a permanent, they get to put it into play. Otherwise, basically nothing happens. So a little bit riskier, a little bit redder. Where are you guys on these cards? And I apparently didn't add Generous Gift to the action, the image of Generous Gift to the tier list. So just assume that Beast Within, the ranking is the same between a Beast Within and Generous Gift. So where are you guys at with these cards? Because these are, for me, my most played removal spells. I still put Beast Within in every green deck. I put Chaos Warp in every red deck. Uh-huh. Generous Gift every white deck. So for me, they're S tier, but I'm not sure everyone's in the same place. So where are you guys at with these?
I think Chaos Warp is much more important for a red deck than either of the other spells in green or white. So I actually value Chaos Warp a little bit higher than the other two. But I would say that of these, Chaos Warp's probably S. Because if you're a mono red deck, you really need this card.
Yeah. So basically, green and white have other ways of dealing with stuff, and red doesn't have as many other ways of dealing with, like, an enchantment, let's say, or something.
Right. Because in green and white, most of the time you're firing this off on a non-creature, and you're firing it on, like, an artifact or enchantment, and green and white have plenty of ways to deal with that. So this is more important for red, Chaos Warp, that is.
But I don't think green and, like, first of all, I don't think green's ways of destroying artifacts and enchantments also hit creatures.
Like, that is true. It is kind of unique in green because it's also murder a creature.
Yeah, most things for green. You also need a creature on the battlefield too to fight. But like the thing here is just the flexibility. Like these are all S's for me, just like Seth, because I want. There's always like a multitude of threats, and just having my removal spell being able to hit any permanent type is just really good for me. It's just the flexibility is good. Sometimes I need to get rid of a creature, but then sometimes I have to get rid of a land. And I don't know about you guys, but I play against a person whose favorite card is Field of the Dead on a regular basis.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I need my removal spells to hit Field of the Dead and Glacial Chasm and Cabal Coffers and stuff. Like, if not,
I mean, that's fair. I fully agree that if that is a thing that really occurs, maybe then you start looking also into demolition fields and things like that.
That's a favorite of mine, too.
I still think, though, like, one thing that it's from Dragonstorm. It's the Disruptive Stormbrood that's not on here. I think that is a card that is something I've started to play a lot more and kind of like in green that can answer an artifact or enchantment that gives me a 3/3 flyer or could be a 2-mana removal spell for a creature with power 3 or less. So I think green, I guess like that's not mono green, that's Golgari, but like, yeah, like I still feel like green and white have so many better ways to deal with things.
I'm curious what you think, Phil, because I feel like I used to see you play these quite a bit, but I'm not sure I've been seeing them as often recently. Where are you at with these in 2025?
So I rank them all at C, and I admit that they are doing the job, but turns out I'm always the one who eats these, and like I just play the thing that has to be removed and don't pay 3 mana for it. Just be the bigger threat. If they are the threat, whatever, be the bigger threat. If you want to remove lands, play Strip Mine. That's why I don't play them. That said, I'm not going to fault anybody for saying, oh, I need a Universal Solvent in my deck. That's probably correct. But my current thing, and I might switch over from this at some point, is just don't get salty if your cool thing gets removed. And just cast something more threatening next. And don't play just 3
Solitaire
mana.
Solitaire Harder.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just
that's the problem.
That's like that seems like to be the motto. Okay,
I will say the one thing I'd say, Phil, about that I found why I play these a lot is because I don't play a lot of targeted removal. I really want my removal to be very flexible because I only have a few options in my deck. So I put a lot of value in having one card that can answer an artifact or a land or a creature. So that's why I play these cards a lot. I think if I played Crim's decks and I played way more targeted removal, I might not be as high on these cards as I am. But if you only have 2 or 3 pieces of removal, you really want them to hit everything, at least for me.
Yeah, that's why they're not D. Like, I don't play them, but I admit that if I need to play a second removal spell after Swords,
So where does this
steal
leave
it.
Us?
Just steal his stuff.
Just steal it. Yeah, just Blaine Thievery. Is Blaine Thievery targeted removal? Is Expropriate a targeted removal spell?
I think they're A's because we have two S's, A from Crim and C from Phil.
I think that would average out to an A. And then we'll put Chaos Warp at the front because of Krim's argument, which I think makes a lot of sense about it being more important to red than maybe the white one is to white. So, all right. Let's keep moving on. Next up, we have a classic card, but a card that we're very divided on.
It's
and
very,
that is Anguish Unmaking. So Anguish Unmaking, an Orzhov removal spell, 3-mana instant. You exile a non-land permanent and lose 3 life. So this is a card I used to play a ton 10 years ago. Now for me, though, I never play it. For me, it's like a hard C, and I just don't put it in decks. But I know you guys really disagree. Tomer and Krim in specific, I see you got S's on there. Is this still a staple for you? Is this the Orzhov Beast Within or Chaos Warp, essentially?
Have I mean, how is it not? It just doesn't hit lands, right? But it
doesn't hit lands. But it does exile, which is an upside.
The argument is it hits lands.
But my argument is exile is more prevalent now than it was before just because it's more indestructible threats we need to deal with. I'm thinking like One Ring, for example. This cleanly answers One Ring. If there's like CODIS or something, you know, like that's sitting on the battlefield that's indestructible, you can get rid of it with exile. So, yeah, you just trade. Being able to blow up lanes for exile, and I think that's a good trade. That's why it's another S for me.
Yeah, the exile is so important in the current year because I think everything Tomer had mentioned is so true. Everything is indestructible or can get indestructible. It's harder to like to play this just makes you not have to worry about indestructible, and I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this card's bad. I just don't play enough targeted removal. Like, I think what killed this card for me was Generous Gift. I used to play it, and then they printed Generous Gift, and then Generous Gift is kind of my go-to flexible removal if I have white in my deck. So, but maybe I'm underrating the exile.
You could.
I mean, I got it at D. I don't know. I'm never gonna play it. I think I literally never played this.
Do you agree it's good? You may not play it, but it's got to be good,
it solves
right?
the problem I create. But I, yeah.
So I think if we average this out, I'm kind of a C. Phil's a D, but Phil just, he's a D on all the removal. He's the Richard of this cast,
sorry.
I think.
Yeah.
Tomer and Krim, you guys got it as, are we putting it low A, high B? Like, where do you think? I could be argued either way on that. Bottom of the A's, top of the B's.
If it needs to be, it could be the bottom of the A's, but if it's in the B's, it's got to be higher than Path to Exile.
Top of the B or high, or low bottom of the
low
A.
Low E or high.
Fine.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll go with the B. We'll go with the B for now. All right. Let's move on to our next one. And now we're getting into some interesting cards because we got some cards that didn't even exist last time we did this, starting with a card that we actually kind of debated heavily. If we actually even wanted to have it on this list at all, because we weren't sure what we thought about fight spells being targeted to removal. Like, are fight spells targeted to removal? I think the answer is maybe. I guess it's as close as green gets. But that card is Archdruid's Charm, which is a triple green instant. It says, choose one. Search a library for a creature land card. Reveal it. If it's a land, it goes on the battlefield. If it's a creature, it goes to hand. Or put a +1/+1 counter on target creature you control. It deals damage equal to its power to target creature you don't control. Or exile target artifact or enchantment. So undoubtedly, a very flexible spell. This is a card that when it was first printed, I was all on the S tier train. But then I realized that triple green actually is kind of a cost. And I found it to be incredibly good. But I don't play it as much as I'd like just because I think it's hard to cast in like 3+ color decks. But where are you guys at with your rankings on Archdruid's Charm? And is fighting and biting, does that count as targeted removal?
I'd say yes. I would count it when deck building. I would count it towards that as potentially a removal spell. Yes. But also, I think this card is nuts because it's so much more than that.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, flexible.
I'm curious to hear the argument why fighting and biting is not spot removal because it's like it kills creatures and it targets them. So
okay. Is Agent of Treachery removal like theft or
does it kill a creature and target them?
Does this kill a creature if you don't have a creature? I don't know.
But it's removal.
If the creature is an illusion, then I guess.
Okay, but Beast Within can't kill creatures if it's indestructible, so it's not
It just says extra steps. Okay, I ranked it S, but I don't think I think I used it once as the removal on a creature. I do play it in a lot of decks, especially in paper, because I don't feel as bad. It's one of the tutors I play because it gets so much else to do, but I usually tutor for Glacial Chasm when I get attacked. So can't do that on Clash.
It's a card that can almost never be bad, right? Like, it kills something some of the time when you need to. It can get artifacts and enchantments, and it can snag your best creature or your best land. So in almost any game state, it's going to be good. Assuming you can cast it, and I'm curious, how big of a deal have you guys found the triple green thing to be? Because I would put this at S tier if I hadn't run into so much trouble casting it. So I ended up putting it B tier, not on power level issues, but on the issue of, I feel like it only goes in certain decks because of its mana cost. So if I'm mono green, I'm going to play this like every time. But once I get up to like three colors, I'm like, I don't know. Like, am I going to be able to cast it consistently enough, early enough? Have you guys found that to be a big issue or not really?
I mean, I don't try it in three color decks. So
I did three and four color. But yeah. I usually cast it like turn eight to win.
Yeah.
You get like,
so you're getting a finisher or something. Or something. And, yeah.
I would 100% slam it. Like one, two color decks is not even a question. And then three, I think it will be hard to cast it on curve. But like Phil said, like, I don't care. Like, this is a totally fine spell to cast on like turn eight. Like, you don't have to curve out with this card. So that's why I think like in three color decks, I'll still slam it. I don't run it that much because I hate green with a passion, but if I was that, then I would go that. And you could also go like the Richard route where it's like, well, just tutor up Yavimaya first and then you never have an issue with it. But like,
Yavimaya does help. That is true. So you guys have this as S tier, right? So we got three S's. Oh, I got it at a B. Are we putting it in the S? Like, are we actually putting it as S tier? Is it the second S with swords? Or is it
high
A? I mean, I think it's you outweigh me, technically.
If I'm in a two-color deck and I have, like, you can only choose swords or Archdruid's Charm in, like, Selesnya, I would be like, I'm sorry, swords, but you're garbage compared to this.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
okay.
It gets any land at instant speed. It fights. It disenchants. Yeah. Like, it does your
taxes. It doesn't even disenchant, right? Doesn't it exile?
It does
exile.
It does exile.
I'm so sorry. It even exiles on top of it.
It answers
like,
the ring.
It files your taxes. It cooks you breakfast. Like, what the hell do you want for a 3-mana instant? Like, it's insane.
You are right. Although, in defense of swords, that I put even in my 5-color decks. Like, if I'm building a 5-color deck, that's like the first card. One of the first cards I put in there. So, all right, we'll put them both in S. We'll put them. I don't think you've talked me into it being above swords quite, just because of the 5 and 4-color decks. But I think it's our second S tier card. Let's move on to a card that I got to ask you guys about. So one of the coolest parts about this podcast that I mentioned in the intro is we did a version of this a bunch of years ago, and we got a couple of cards on here that we talked about way back then, and our grades have changed a ton.
Oh,
and one of the biggest is Reality Shift. So Reality Shift, it is a, let me pull that up there. Reality Shift is a 2-mana blue instant. It says exile target creature, its controller manifests the top card of their library. So they get the top card, is a 2/2 face down creature. If it's a creature, you can flip it up for its mana cost. So back when we did this the first time, like 5 years ago or 4 years ago, our rankings on this were BBBB. We all thought it was good in certain decks. Our rankings today are DDDC. What has happened to Reality Shift in the past few years that we went from thinking it was a really good card in certain decks to most of us thinking it's stone unplayable now?
Honestly, I think that it's still passable in mono blue. I think you still need the cheap speed interaction. But more often than not, I find like mono blue in the current year, you can just steal. You can just steal a creature instead.
Yeah.
So why exile it? This is like a big... This always feels like the 101st card for me. And sometimes it makes it into the deck depending on the power level. But for the most part, nowadays, I just would rather steal your creature in blue or bounce it.
That I would sense. Just... I think like this card's fighting for rapid hybridization and Pongify slots for me, even in mono blue. And I would run those two cards before this because it costs double. And yeah, it's exiles. That's nice. But it's not double the mana nice for me. And I also discovered some other removal spells in blue that I just run over this now. So Domineering Will and Reigns of Power, these are not spot removal per se, but they can get rid of creatures very easily.
They
There's another targeted removal spell that it just eclipses everything else, and I will talk to that
Is
later.
Is this Floodgate, Tomer?
No.
Are we talking? Oh, okay.
Better.
I mean, I've kind of ended up in the same spot where we have gotten more blue removal. They've started adding like Resculpt and like some more like weird blue Raven form that wasn't there last time we ranked these, I don't believe. So they've added more, not that it's like staple level, but I think for me, I don't play as much removal as I used to, and I value Pongify and Rapid Hybridization above this card. So if I'm playing like a couple, then I end up playing those. And like my Flibblefip deck, I have Pongify, Rapid Hybridization, but this would probably be the next card up, but I'm only playing two of that effect. So I just never get to Reality Shift.
And run Observe Stasis as well. 4 mana, gets rid of your commander. They can't replay it ever again, and you draw a bajillion cards. But that's a different...
I do like drawing bajillion cards.
Okay. It's so underrated.
I think we got to put this in the D. I know Krim's got it in a C, but the rest of us are in D tier, so we're gonna stick it in the D tier. The other card from a while ago that I'm very curious about is Assassin's Trophy. So Assassin's Trophy is a Golgari removal spell. 2 mana, you blow up any permanent, and its controller searches their library for a basic land card, puts it on the battlefield untapped, and then shuffles. So this is another card that when we first ranked utility spells a while ago, we were super high on. We had this SSB and S, so it was an S tier card. Our rankings today, B, C, C, and B. So that's what for being one of the best removal spells in the format, in our opinion, to being like average to below average. What happened to Assassin's Trophy?
Can't target your own creatures. Can't ramp yourself. Garbage.
Bad in token decks.
Unplayable.
Bad in token decks. Okay. I mean, I think the other thing about this card is green and black just get so much removal now. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many different options if you're a Golgari deck. It is nice that it's flexible, but we've talked a lot about mana advantage being so big in Commander. Giving your opponent a land is actually really painful. Like, there is a big cost to ramping your opponent when you Assassin's Trophy them, much more so than, like, a Beast Within effect, where your opponent gets a 3-3, but, like, whatever, it's only a 3-3 in a game of Commander. So I think giving my opponent resources is one of the reasons that I just don't play this card nearly as much as I used to. But what do you think about this one, Grim?
This card is still very, very versatile. And like, yeah, maybe giving your opponent a land is something you don't want to do. But if the problem is a land, it's nice that you can pop it and just trade it. So like, get rid of your Glacial Chasm, get us a basic land or something, right? Like, this is a card that I still like a lot in Golgari decks. It's so cheap. It's so cheap in like mana. Yeah, maybe you can't kill your own stuff, but the fact that it can hit lands, I think this one's pretty big for me.
Just play Casualties of War. Just instead of destroying
six
one
mana.
Permanent,
destroy
just
all
one
the
of
things.
Each.
Just ramp. Six just... mana. At sorcery speed.
I mean, it's kind of got the same
be
issue
the
as
problem,
Path, right? Like giving your opponent land is just too punishing.
No. Path is different because Path only hits creatures, right?
Well, no, so... Path it. Yeah, but Path hits your own creatures, though. The ram.
Okay, all right. I promise there is no world where that is the better play than just removing
Bro.
The problem, right?
To be fair, I'm not it, strong opinion.
I don't know. Destroying a treasure or something.
I
found myself
treasure.
In the position where I had an Assassin's Trophy and thought, well, I wish I could just blow up this clue or something.
It would be sweet
I don't
if
know
you hit your own thing.
It
would actually
I had this
go up
one,
in value.
One soldier, and I could just ramp for one mana, and so speed.
Oh, but if it could hit your own stuff and it hit any permanent, blowing up like a trinket, like a clue or something, actually would be kind of strong.
You're
or
so
you
close
save
to
it
recognizing path that
they're problematic. Are you kidding?
So close. So where are we ranking this? We got 2 C's and a B. Are we putting in the C, low B? Any strong opinions?
I think it is wild that this card is under Path to Exile. That is the only.
You just haven't seen the light
yet. Tokens,
you haven't
Grim,
seen
but
the
tokens.
We are light.
Dude, tokens are. It is always better to target your opponent's stuff. I promise.
It exiles probably, yeah. 2. It exiles. Oh my god, it's so good.
Since,
1 mana versus 2.
Since
oh my god.
Since we're talking about Golgari, let's move on to a new card, which I actually is one of the reasons why I don't play Assassin's Trophy more, because this kind of is an Assassin's Trophy for more mana, admittedly,
that ramps you, though, instead of your opponents. And that card is Binding the Old Gods. So this is a 4-mana saga. It's an enchantment. Its first lore counter is destroy target non-land permanent opponent controls. Second lore counter, search your library for a forest. Not even a basic forest. You can get a non-basic forest if you want. Put it on the battlefield tapped and then shuffle. And then the almighty third lore counter, the one that everyone forgets about.
Get him.
Creatures you control gain death touch until end of turn. It really is. It's got three lore counters. It's really the first two lore counters that matter on this one. And this
is
one of my...
Do not disrespect the third chapter. The third chapter cooks sometimes, dude. I swear.
If you have trample, it's very good.
Or if you have just small poops, like you got to just throw into the some board, then you can.
It's just situational. It's very situational. There are situations where the death touch is really good. The first two modes, though, are pretty much always good. Blow up something, ramp. You're hard to go wrong with either of those. I play this way more than Assassin's Trophy now. For me, if I'm playing one of these Golgari removal spells, I actually think this is really strong. It's kind of like Golgari Solemn in a weird way, where you're getting the two for one, you're getting an effect on the battlefield, you're blowing something up, and then you're getting a land. So I kind of value this super highly. I have it as A tier. What's your guys' experience with this card?
This card's great, right? For all those reasons. But you play them both, Seth. That's the heat. I'm gonna blow your mind.
Too much
you can play them both.
Two removal spells.
That's the buddy cop duo. You have Binding the Old God, blow something up, ramp. And I mean, the death touch may not be relevant in all decks, but it is nice to have.
Yeah.
And you play Assassin's Trophy, because then you get to just blow up so many things.
Removal that gets you ahead is just, it's good. It's slow. It's 4 mana.
Yeah,
it's sorcery
it is
speed.
Slow.
So those are strikes against it. But the fact that you could just blow, it's very flexible removal again. And then it rapes you. The third chapter is sometimes nice too. But I think the first two chapters are good enough for me. And the third one is nice when it's relevant.
So
I bumped it up to an A.
Ooh.
Because the Solemn argument is kind of cool. It gets a surveillance.
And is a Solemn.
Yeah.
Way better Solemn.
Yeah, that's... It's good.
I always
forget to play it, but I admit that it's pretty good.
The biggest
you
issue is
you can flick it and remove the counters and stuff.
Yeah, shenanigans, saga shenanigans. The biggest problem is just being two colors, right? I would play it in so many decks, but you got to be Golgari or three color. But I think we got a pretty solid A. The question is... Is there any way this is above the Beast Within Generous Gift Pact in A tier? Is this at the top of A? It probably can't be, right?
No.
I
don't.
Even though I ranked them at C, I wouldn't feel...
wouldn't feel right about that.
Yeah, that seems wrong.
All right, we'll put it at the bottom. We'll put it at the bottom. All right, next up... We got a classic, and we really disagree on this one, and that is D-Spark. So D-Spark, little Orzhov removal, 2-mana instant, exiles target permanent with mana value 4 or greater. And our rankings on this one, where are the D-Spark rankings again? I know Tomer, you're super high on this card, right? Most of us hate this, but Tomer... You really like it. Is that because it can get my one ring? Is that the main value of D-Spark?
Oh my god, Seth, I love you. Yes. That is the one. Screw your one ring, Seth. Screw it. I'm gonna take that trade every single time. I don't care you got one card out of it. Whatever. I'm insta slamming that down on your stupid one ring.
So my concern with this card is always just it only gets things mana value 4 or greater. But if you think about Commander, a lot of times the things you want to hit are going to be the expensive things anyway. So maybe I'm being a little too harsh on this card. I had it as a D because I just really don't play it. I can see bumping it up to a C though, especially in our meta where I play the One Ring all the time. So if I was playing against myself, I would probably play way more D Sparks because I know I'd be getting that at least. Krim and Phil, you guys aren't really believers in this. I'm curious about you. I know, Phil, you're not a believer because you don't believe in targeted removal. But Krim, you do believe in targeted removal. Why are you so low on D-Spark?
Honestly, it's gone up a little for me. It's now a high C because at least it got a cool Final Fantasy art. That's the only reason why I ever play it. But other than that, I don't know. I mean, I feel like the restrictions of 4 or greater is actually more relevant than you would think.
Yeah.
So I, at this point, right, when I'm already playing so much spot removal, I'm playing Anguished Unmakings, I'm playing all these other things as well, I want to hit everything. So, I don't know, I don't like that it has restrictions on it. That's the main
thing. Yeah, I gotta say, so, the four or greater thing kind of sucks for me, especially because if I play something that... It's got to be a universal solvent because it has to remove a hate piece or something like something like Rest in Peace or the thing that turns your creature, your commander into an elk or something.
Yeah.
Like, I have to be able to remove the hate pieces, not like some Haymaker 7 drop, because then I have 7 mana and I can just steal it. So cheap removal should also remove cheap things. Not I don't know. Point. I've run into the problem of this not removing the thing that actually bothers me.
When I think about all the cards that Krim wrecks me with every other week on Commander Clash, many of them cost less than 4 mana. Yeah,
like
and this
Grand Arbiter or something.
Like Treasure Nabber.
This one goes into all my Orthom decks, and I always seem happy about it. Like the only thing that bothers me that it doesn't hit is Rhystic Study. Like Rhystic Study dodges it, but like if I'm building an Orzhov deck, I always put in Generous Gift. I always put in Anguished Unmaking, and then I usually put in D-Spark and Swords to Plowshares, and that's like my targeted removal package. And then I go like hog wild and like the Soul Shatters and stuff like that. But that's a different topic. If I want to hit one specific thing, I think D-Spark usually makes it for me because it hits a lot. It hits a lot and it's exile and it gets rid of your stupid One Ring stuff.
Yeah, that is fair. The One Ring argument, actually, that was what kind of convinced me this card might actually be.
I'm just a hater.
Super busted.
I'm just a hater.
C tier? Does that split the difference? I know Tomer really likes it. The rest of us pretty meh. We need something in C tier.
Sure. Why not?
All right, let's move on. This is a card that my grades have went down from S all the way to D in the last few years. And it's an MDFC. It's Hagra Mauling. So Hagra Mauling.
No, that's the wrong one. That's Fell the Profane.
Oh, I grabbed it. You're looking similar. At. We're going to talk about that one.
I was spooked for a moment.
Hagra Mauling, like, yeah. We're going to get to Fell the Profane next. Hagra Mauling is a 4-mana instant. Says costs one less to cast. If an opponent controls no basic lands, destroy target creature. And then the backside's a land that enters the battlefield tapped. We also have, I guess we might as well do these together since they're very similar. Fell the Profane. This is a new version. It's a 4-mana instant in black. It says destroy target creature or planeswalker. And then the backside is a land that comes into play tapped unless you pay 3 life and it makes black mana. So for me, I'm a huge MDFC believer. Hagra Mauling would go in every single one of my decks when it was first printed. But I found since I printed Fell the Profane, I play 0 Hagra Maulings and I play Fell the Profane in every single deck. So I don't think Hagra Mauling's bad. It's been power crept for me where like I only want one of that effect. And the better version is Fell the Profane. So it's went all the way from S down to D. I'm curious, where are you guys at with these cards? Is Hagra Mauling still good? Has Fell the Profane killed it? What do you think of these MDFCs?
Seth, I think I played Hagra Mauling religiously high, right? Like, it was like,
oh, yeah.
I think we did
both
the stats
did.
Episode.
We
yeah,
both did,
like,
yeah.
I'm going to say that I obviously find it to be the worst version of Fell the Profane, but I still play it enough, and I think you just play them both, Seth.
If you just play them both in your deck?
Yeah, you just simply play them both. It's
in
so
Mono Black,
good.
I will. In Mono Black, I will play both of them. But then once I get past Mono Black, I'll play Fell the Profane in like 3 color decks. Hagra Mauling, though, in those decks, it's been replaced by Fell the Profane.
3-color decks,
Homer?
Maybe not as high on it, but like 2-color decks and like Mono Color, obviously, you just play them both.
That's so much removal.
When the first MDFCs came out, I was getting a lot of flack because I remember the Goldfish crew was like, why would you not put an MDFC in your deck? So you put like literally every single MDFC that's in your colors. And yep. I said it before and I say it now again, MDFCs all have a cost when they enter tapped. Okay? Being tapped is a little cost to your deck. And so if it is a tap land, it has to do something monumental for me to actually be interested in it. And Hagra Mauling, paying 4 mana to kill something at instant speed, is a lot of mana. I do not like actually doing it. But if it enters untapped, like Fel the Profane, hell yes. It two, one color, three color decks. This is like no brainer going in. Beyond that, but it enters untapped. It's untapped, colored mana. I'm happy with it. Hagar Mulling, though, never. DFF. Garbage. Get it out of here. Get it out of here.
Where are you at?
Four mana to kill something.
Are they different because they come attached to land?
Yes.
I know you don't play a lot of targeted removal, but if it's a land, too, it can't be that bad, right?
Yes. So I have Fel the Profane at A because it's just, I still don't play it, but I'm wrong about this. Because it can be an untapped land. I just don't know what you cut from my Jadar deck, to be honest. Hagar Mulling, I think I have at C. It's still just a tapped land if you want to. So it's still, MDFCs can never be D's, I think.
It's just such a powerful design of a card, right? Being a spell and a land is just like, it's hard to make them truly bad. And I think Krim's right. The Hagar Mulling still, it wasn't that many years ago that I was very happy to play Hagar Mulling in my deck. So it's not like it's horrible. I don't play that much targeted removal. So where are we going to put these in our tier list, Tomer?
D, F. Unplayable. There's like, I could count like the number of tapped MDFCs I play on my hand. Usually they're the mana fixing ones because mana fixing is a utility. But then like Valakut Awakening is great. Wander Inversion sometimes. Malakir Rebirth, Chef's Kiss. But then that's basically it.
Get Recovery.
Sometimes.
High C. Yeah. At least give it a high C. Fel the Profane, though, has to be S tier.
It can go above this D spark. So
I see just makes me want to have like a sugary orange juice. What is that? That's a thing.
I know,
right?
Yeah,
like,
I mean, thirsty. You're like,
I want that sugary bad orange juice.
Yeah.
Artificial OJ.
Artificial flavorings.
I think, remember Sunny D, speaking of artificial orange juice? Man, do you ever have that when you were a kid? My God, I
desire
drank some
it.
Of that recently. It's so bad now. Yeah. When I was a kid, it was good, but now that I'm an adult, my God. So Fel the Profane, are we putting it bottom of the S tier or top of the A tier?
Bottom of the S.
There's two A's and two S's. Yeah. I think that's a fair S.
Yeah, it seems bottom of it. Let's go bottom of the S tier. We could use some more S's. Okay, let's move on to another new card in Deadly Rollick. So Deadly Rollick, this is a free spell. It's from the same cycle as Fierce Guardianship and Deflecting Swat. Technically, it's 4 mana to exile target creature. But if you have your commander, you can cast it for free. So one of the most efficient ways to exile a creature, assuming you have your commander out. Where do you guys rank this card?
Can I put S plus?
Not that high, Krim? Do you just play this in every deck, basically?
Yeah, every deck has this. If it has black and it has a commander, I probably play it.
Interesting.
I'm pretty high with Krim too, but like I want to have it in a deck that has the commander out consistently. So low mana value, indestructible, is a background, you know, like something like that, and then it's like the best spot removal in the deck, because what's better than a Swords to Plowshares, one that's zero mana and doesn't gain them life, right? So in those cases, yes. But if I play like a 6 mana commander that I don't believe is going to survive for more than like a turn, then
You still get to have a free removal spell, right? Like
even if it's like half mana, the turns I don't have access to it and I have to pay 4 for it. That's
four
that's Hagar Mulling tier. That's
if I'm okay with Hagar Mulling, then I'm down to pay 4 mana for an even a super Hagar Mulling, right?
So Krim's an S. I'm an A, but I see y'all
I'm a B.
Specific deck.
Maybe B is a. I don't want to put it at C though, because I think it's better than C. Here's my issue with this card. I know this card is good. And I think it's very powerful. Free spells, we know are powerful. Exiling creatures, we know is good. I just don't play that much removal. So, like, this is one of those cards that it just gets cut from my decks because I don't play that many targeted removal spells. So I'm not denying that the card is powerful. I just don't play it that often because I have stuff like Fel the Profane that I can get away with playing because it's also a land on the backside. So I ended up sticking it at B for that reason, which is like the good but I don't play it tier, I guess. Phil, help me. Help me here. I see you
wait,
as a B too.
Wait, where, Seth. Oh, yeah. Yes. You have swords at S, right? And
yes.
Phil has swords at S.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This at top most of the time will be free.
Oh, Krim.
It'll be actually
Krim,
cheap.
No, Krim, God, you got to remember, Krim, you're talking to me. How many games do I just not have a commander at all?
Yeah.
You got to think of the Seth meta.
That's fair. Counter argument. What if I don't play my commander?
Don't play my commander ever?
But it would be an interesting stat to see like how many turns on average are commanders on the battlefield? Because I think that would actually determine how good Deadly Relic is. Because let's say the game goes on for 10 turns, but you had your commander on the battlefield for only 3 of those turns. So you only have 3 turns of casting Deadly Relic for free. Is it still very good? I would argue no.
I would say, even because then those 3 turns, right, you would be able to just clear the way and deal with any problem. And like sometimes, you know, just being able to have this in your back pocket is more than enough, right? Because then you're not the one that needs to fire off a sweeper. Someone else does.
But then like, if you have the timing restriction, you might get stuck like feeling like you need to cast it on a suboptimal target because you have the ability to cast it for free. When if you wait, your commander might die or there might be a sweeper and then you won't have the ability. I guess if there's a sweeper, it's fine because everything got swept away. But your commander might die and you won't have the ability to cast it for free. So I wonder if it's a little less good than we think just because of the timing restriction. Although at the same time, I think it gets better with stuff like vehicles, legendary vehicles being legal as your commander now because those are commanders that stick around. Yeah, background commanders.
Insane.
They keep doing these innovative things that are commanders, and if you have anything like that, like a non-creature commander, then I think all these cards go way up in value. But Phil, I'm curious, you rank this like relatively high based on the Phil standards. What do you think of this one?
I mean, it's still a free spell, but so I really like Flawless Maneuver and deflecting swat, because you have your commander and then you defend your commander. Having my commander and having to remove something isn't really related. So it's just a gimmick, basically, that you sometimes play it for free. Now that Toma said it, like, usually, I usually cast my commander and just hope it survives. but you usually have, like, 3 to 4 turns, especially if you have a very good commander. I don't know, maybe if you play something inoffensive, then you can get away with it. Or like super cheap. But then again, it only removes the creature. Paying 4 for it seems insane.
Yeah, 4.
But it allows for you to make attacks pretty aggressively, right? Because
yeah,
if the most problematic thing...
Jeez.
I mean, okay, that's fair. Yeah. I mean, that is one of the beauties of it, though, right? I can swing with my commander and all my stuff and know that the best thing, if it comes at me, I'll just remove it.
It is undoubtedly a strong card. If anything, the more we talk about it, the more I feel like maybe I'm underrating it a little bit. And it's probably more of an A than a B, even though I don't personally play it all that often.
Spell.
Like
this can't be a B.
It's probably right?
At least an A.
Yeah, okay.
And high A.
You've convinced me. I don't know about that. I can put it above Binding if you want, but you're going to have to fight me if you want it above Beast Within.
Yeah, I'd put it over Binding.
Because those for me are like so good. But we can put it, about that? Does that work?
Yeah, sure.
All right, this one is another old one that is on our list today just because I'm curious what happened with this card. Because if you look at our original ratings, we were ridiculously high on Mythos of Nethroi. So Mythos of Nethroi, this is a 3-mana removal spell. It's a technically 2 and a black. It's an instant. It says destroy target non-land permanent, or it says destroy target creature, or if you also spent green and white mana along with the black mana, then you can blow up any non-land permanent. So when we first did this ranking a while ago, we had A's across the board. Everyone loved this card. I can't remember. It might have been right after Ikoria came out, so maybe we were like super hyped because it was the new card. I feel like I have not seen a Mythos of Nethroi in a very long time, though. And occasionally I'll play it if I'm like in Abzan or something, but I'm curious, do you guys play this card? Why were we so high on this like 5 years ago? Were we drunk recording that podcast? What was going on?
Removal has gotten so much better, right?
Like, it's just been power crap.
And this is now, think like, okay, Voidrend is the universal answer, right? But Voidrend is uncounterable. This is the same cost as what a Voidrend is. Right? It is technically Abzan. Exactly Abzan.
Yep.
That is a real cost in a color wedge that I'm sorry, my Abzan gamers out there, I'm about to drop some hot heat on you. I don't think Abzan players exist. I but feel like I've never really run into any Abzan deck,
wow.
Dude. Like, I'm being serious. I don't think I've run into any Abzan decks. Most of the time,
stupid Field of the Dead Commander a couple times.
Yeah, Necrobloom. But that's
maybe
the only
every
one
now and then you play against Phil. Phil is the only reason I've ever seen the Necrobloom. And then, and outside of that, it's Bilbo or whatever, Life Gain Man, right? And even then, it's rare that I see that as well. So, I don't know. I just don't think I see a lot of Abzan decks. And because I don't see a lot of Abzan decks, I don't see this card get played. There's layers here, right? There are very few. Like, I feel like I never see Abzan players. It's a very small sample size. But then on top of that, I think people underrate universal answers. So, I think it's a combination of these two that make it so this card has kind of slipped into oblivion. And its mana cost is interesting, and it is a real restriction. Actually, no, you're playing green. You have every color all the time.
That's fine.
It is. I think part of it, too, is so you have to be Abzan to play this, right? It's technically a three-color card, even though it's got the mono black up at the top. But so you have to be Abzan to play this, and Abzan has such good removal. Like, you have just, like, so many of the best removal colors mashed together there that I feel like when you have Assassin's Trophy, you have Fel the Profane, you have Generous Gift, you have Beast Within, you have Binding the Old Gods, I just don't play that much removal. So I don't think Mythos and Nethra is, like, horrible or anything. It's just, like, the 10th or 15th best removal spell in Abzan, and I just don't get that far down the list.
So for me, it's the big thing is Rodrigo, again, this card makes me sad if I play against Rodrigo's decks because for some reason you can't hit lands. I don't know why. If you pay three different colors
because
of mana on a three mana instant, I'm not allowed to hit a freaking land, not even a non-basic.
Yeah, it wasn't standard.
It probably
could have been a non-basic. Throw me a bone here. Let me hit a Glacial Chasm or something. Let me hit a couple of coffers of this. So it's like, okay, well, I'm in the colors that has Beast Within, Generous Gift, both of these
Assassin's
do the exact
Trophy.
Same thing as this. I'm not running Assassin's Trophy, but I'm running Beast Within. I'm running Beast Within. I'm running Generous Gift. Both of them do the exact same thing, except they hit a land. Okay, I'm probably running Anguish Unmaking because I can hit your stupid One Ring in exile forever. And then probably I want the Binding of the Old Gods because it's kind of like very slow ramp on top of things. And that's like, yeah, I don't need that many targeted removal spells at that point. I'm good. I'm going to run lots of board wipes and soul shatters and all the forced one-sided edicts and stuff like that. And I'm not running Mythos. And it's easily forgettable.
Yeah, it is. It is just kind of a forgettable removal spell, which I think is probably going
like
to put it at
players.
The bottom of C tier, I would think, based on our rankings, if we average them all out.
I wish we did something else for casting it for Abzan. Like, give me a token or something.
The reward could be higher. Yeah.
Just let me hit the freaking land.
Or a mini
let
rhino.
Exile. You know?
Yeah, I love this.
Oh,
let me hit the freaking
Conjuring lands. Siege Rhino onto the battlefield. Then we have a card.
Seek a Siege Rhino.
All right, let's move on to a card that I'm very curious to see what Tomer and Krim say about this, because this is a card I don't think I've ever cast. You guys have it ranked really, really highly, though, so I'm hoping you convince me that this card is good, and that card is Leadership Vacuum. So Leadership Vacuum.
Oh, this card.
Three mana instant. Target player returns each commander they control from the battlefield to the command zone, and you get to draw a card. And I like that last line of text. So Tomer and Krim, I see you guys have this at A or S. Me and Phil both had it at D. I put it at D just because I've literally never cast it, and I don't even think I've ever seen it cast. How good is this card? Is this card actually, like, a staple? Should I be playing it?
This card is
proof.
It's
indestructible.
Nuts.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that is your commander. It's going back to the command zone. It's not bouncing it back to your hand so you could play it for the same cost. And it replaces itself. This is so good. This is such a sweet...
What?
I think people don't, they need to read it twice. Like, this is not just like, oh, I bounce it to the command zone, I can recast it for free. No, it's a kill spell. Like, you have to pay the command tax next time you cast it. It's like weird, it's worded weirdly, but like, this is literally just, your commander is dead. I don't care about Hexproof. I don't care about Indestructible. I don't care that it's a vehicle or if it's a spacecraft and it's not a creature. It's gone. It's gone. And also, if you're like a background commander, the background's gone too. Get it out of here.
It does.
All of them.
Yeah.
All partners.
Partners and back to the bin, right?
Yeah. Partners, both of them out. It replaces itself. This card is the truth. And that's the most, the more I play command and the more I realize the most important thing to win the game or like either like build up your engines, blah, blah, blah. But like more important than that is just stop your opponents from having their engines online. And 99% of the time, the primary engine of a deck is going to be the commander. So something that like is the best answer to that commander is going to be amazing. And it takes away the drawback of targeted removal because it replaces itself.
It's blue. So,
it's insane.
Okay. I see what you guys are saying. And I think I like the draw a card. I get the commander tags thing. That's pretty sweet. Commanders are important. My question is this not kind of narrow though? Like, think of a removal spell that only hits a commander. Like, this isn't going to save you from any of the other 99 cards in your opponent's deck. Or does that just not matter? Like, the commanders are so important to the game. That's called, I guess, commander. That's called commander. That it's just so important that it's worth playing, even if that's the only thing you can deal with.
It hits the most important thing in everybody's deck. The most important thing. And I know it's the thing. It's the only thing that I know you're going to be casting.
Well, except for me, but yes, most
for Saddle. Yeah. Everybody
played
else,
around leader.
You got a Martius Calgar, don't care. You got background commanders, don't care. You got a spacecraft, I don't care. They're all going back to your hand. I don't care about your stupid engine. It's going away. You have to pay two more and recast it.
Two hands. Like, if
I got all commanders,
they go to the deck.
Eventually you get like an overload.
You play a lot of blue decks, Phil. Do you play this card? Do you like drawing cards?
No,
think of the value.
No. This is so narrow. Like, as I mentioned, if you sort the opponent's commander, it's probably good. But, and maybe with this one, you don't have to feel bad for anchor shooting, because it just does nothing else. It only bounces, so it does nothing against Seth. And then it does nothing against Maelstrom Wanderer or Itali. I guess it makes them pay two more. It's kind of, the card draw is cool, but it's just, if I don't play Beast Within, I don't play this. I it's a D for me.
I think this is better than that in that situation, right? For a blue deck? Because
if you want to destroy the commander,
Yeah.
Or like get rid of the commander.
These are all problems.
Yeah. It does sound good. And even like in a commander game, even if I'm there and I'm not playing my commander, someone's going to be going in on their commander, build around their commander. So you're probably going to get value out of it. I'm going to try it. Maybe D is a little bit too harsh. My concern was mostly the narrowness. Like, if I can just play a removal spell that can kill anything, why would I play one that only bounces a commander? Although drawing a card is a nice upside there.
Drawing a card is cool, yeah.
I think if I'm mono blue in specific, it goes up even more in value. Once I'm in like black or like, you know, Demir or Simic or something, and I have Beast Within or Fel the Profane, then it might not be as appealing. But in mono blue, I'm going to add this to my Flibble Thip deck and see how it goes.
Didn't we have, wasn't it where we added our whatever color pips we wanted to a commander? We had an episode like that. This was in my Zevlor deck. I can't remember if this is just me playing my Zevlor deck normally or if this was on Clash. Being able to hit everybody with this.
Oh, Zevlor gets everyone's commander. That's kind of insane in Zevlor, actually.
I think,
that's busted.
If you're blue, Simic, and is it also doesn't bring that much extra, like red doesn't bring that much extra to blue for targeted removal. Well, I think these are just like, I would put it in every single Simic, is it, in blue deck. And then the other one is going to be just Observe Stasis, which you know, editor, you can show.
Tomer, will you read that card for me? I can't see it now. Card what is observe stasis? I don't but think I know that one.
I don't know if it fits the criteria. It's a 4-mana blue enchantment aura, has flash. It enchant creature an opponent controls. When this aura enters, remove enchanted creature from combat, then draw a card for each tapped creature its controller controls. Enchanted creature loses all abilities and can't attack or block.
Oh.
That sounds like removal to me. Why would that not be removal?
That does.
I don't know.
Seem like
we're going into auras and stuff. It's instant speed, though. It's instant speed. It removes it from combat. Oh, yeah. It completely destroys commanders because they lose all abilities and they can't attack or block. So they have to find a way to remove it.
What was the card draw? You draw for each attacking creature?
Each tapped creature. It's bananas. It's actually bananas.
Where was that printed? What set was this?
Final Fantasy.
The Commander precon. Yeah. Cards bananas. It's Leadership Vacuum and Observe Sages in all my blue decks. All of them.
I have been playing it in a good amount of decks. I've found that most of the time I just draw like one or two cards though.
but still.
If I get lucky.
One or two. That's
you could draw
it's
more.
Nice. It's nice. I really like the card. I think it's super solid.
We're not going to actually put it on the tier list because I don't have the image to move on the tier list. But where would you rank this on the tier list? Like what? If it was here, A tier?
Give it an A.
I'd give it an A.
I've been looking for the Blue Beast Within, and this might be as close as we get now. This might be
Only hits creature.
Yeah. Agent of Treachery is so good. It's just like
but
seven
it also draws
kind
cards.
Of lot, but I'm gonna try it. I think it might actually be really good. I'm gonna try it. Well, anyway, let's move on to our last three cards. Next we got a new addition to Magic, something that didn't even exist. It was a break of the color pie last time we tier listed some targeted removal. And that is Withering Torment, my favorite card.
Withering Torment,
3-mana instant. Destroy target creature. It's a black card, by the way. Destroy target creature or enchantment. Boo. You lose 2 life. I hate this card with a passion because I hate black heavy enchantment removal. But is it good? My hatred aside, is it good? Black traditionally struggles with dealing with enchantments. Losing life is annoying. 3-mana to kill a creature. Not great. That's literal murder, like draft shaft that no one plays. How big of an upside is getting an enchantment in a black deck? Is that enough to actually make this a playable removal spell?
I feel like this card is on this list because of you, Seth.
I would never
put this on this list. No, you're right, though, in that it is very good. I think only 2 life makes it so much better than Feed the Swarm at instant speed, right? Like
Instant speed is a huge upgrade compared to Feed the Swarm.
Yeah, like I'd play this in every mono black deck, right? This is like probably removal number like 2 or so. Maybe even like, but it is really good. You do need to answer enchantments. And if you can't deal with it normally, like outside of like All Is Dust and Ugin, this is like a really good way to go about it. And I think this card deserves all the love. I think it's a needed piece for black. Is it bad? I mean, are we saying
this card?
It's funny. As much as I hate this card, and oh, do I hate this card, I gave it a B tier, and I actually played it in my mono black decks because it is very good, and it is like flexible for black removal. Like being able to hit an enchantment is a really big deal. So even though it's not quite as efficient as some of the other options, I think it's actually good enough for mono black in specific. So I gave it a B for mono black. I guess once I'm outside of mono black, I can probably deal with the same things in a different way and I don't need it anymore, but I think in mono black in specific it's good. Tomer, I noticed you had it as a C. Do you
it's
play
literally,
it at all?
I agree, like I literally only run into mono black. I cringe every single time I draw the stupid card.
Yeah,
but it's like most black decks are graveyard decks, right? That's kind of like the main thing. So I feel like I need to have a main deck answer to a rest in peace, you know?
Yep.
Like, if my deck loses to rest in peace, I need to find a way to tutor up a card that will handle the rest in peace. So I will reluctantly run this card. Also, like, if we're playing bracket 3 or something, I don't want to have no answers to a Rissic Study or, like, a Smothering Tithe. So having just one way of targeting an enchantment, I will sadly run this stupid card. But it's not good.
Plus, in Clash, you never know when Crim's going to be like, oh, pregame actions, lay a line in the void.
Yeah.
That should not have hurt you all that much.
I know.
I was playing God the Welder.
Phil, what do you think about this one?
It's a D, but I admit that it serves a purpose. Funnily enough, enchantment is kind of the thing you have to remove because it's all the hate pieces.
You're not running in Jadar? You have a mono black deck, right?
Yeah, that's like
peak. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. I just die
if I die.
I don't know.
Do you have any outs? Do you have like Feed the Swarm or something against no. Rest in Peace?
I don't need Western Rest. Yeah, I guess. Well, I don't know.
Maybe like an Oblivion Stone. Do you have any outs in enchantments?
I mean, somebody else will be threatened by it and then they destroy it. I don't know. It doesn't seem worth the slots.
He's gonna play all his dust, but then he realized it would blow up his soul stone, so he had to.
maybe because my playgroup doesn't just randomly run Rest in Peace. I guess if I always
void.
Run into specifically Rest in Peace, I'd probably say, yeah. But then it's one card that I really don't want to play in any other situation. Likely am I to draw this card in this one situation? I don't know.
You're in black. You don't have any.
You're in black. Yeah, you could pretty much hand sculpt, right?
No, I don't. I have the two mana creature. I don't run any tutors. No, I guess I have Lively Dirge.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So with our grades,
run Rest in Peace against. Phil.
No. Oh yeah.
I think we just stick it at the top of C, maybe. We had a mixture of B's and C's. Is that close enough?
Good in mono black.
It's good in mono black.
Ugh. Good in mono black, basically. Good in mono black deer. All right, two cards to go. Next up, Skyclave Apparition. So Skyclave, the first creature we've talked about today, I believe, a 3-mana 2/2 mono white creature. It says when it enters, exile up to one target non-token permanent that you don't control with mana value 4 or less. And then when it leaves the battlefield, the exiled card's owner creates a XX blue illusion creature token where X was the mana value of the exiled card. So essentially, if you exile a 4 drop, they're going to get a 4/4. You exile a 3 drop, they're going to get a 3/3. We have this one A's across the board, except for me. I put it in B. I think it's good in blink decks. Like, if I can reuse its ability a bunch, it's good. It's nice that you don't give the thing back, like an Oblivion Ring. Giving back a token, more like Beast Within, way better than an Oblivion Ring effect that gives back the actual thing when it dies. I'm curious about you guys, though. You got it at A tier. How many decks, what decks do you play this in? Is it more than just blink decks?
The Skyclave Appetizer is peak, right? I think this card is so good. It answers anything that's 4 or less, right? I mean,
4 or less.
It exiles like too. Again,
yeah, it exiles
ring,
like
gone. No, more drawing for you, sir.
Yeah,
I just don't
ring,
see
though,
how this isn't
coming
solid,
though, Tomer.
I think this card is like a very good whatever those like Soul Warden, not Soul Warden, those Warden effects that exile stuff.
The
O-ring creatures. Like I think this is probably
something
the best
Hunter.
One.
Yeah, Fiend Hunter is the best one. It is like the best Fiend Hunter effect, I think. Banisher Priest.
I play this generically, right? Like it's just such a good creature.
I think like,
I don't play it generically. It is even I ranked it at A because it is a creature with an ETB, which is kind of like an MDFC. Like the floor does something, it triggers stuff. I don't know. It can't be that bad, and it is the best Fiend Hunter. Also, if you exile commanders with it, they don't get the token unless they want to lose it forever, which
That's
is, yeah. So I think this one's actually makes it into some of my decks. Admittedly, they are blink decks, so if I say B is for specific decks, I guess it's a B, but it is very good at what it does.
I think, obviously, we all agree it's good in blink decks, but I would also agree with Krim that it fits in a lot of other decks, too, because I think it's also very, very good in creature-heavy decks. Like, if you're just being rewarded for playing creatures, then it's a creature that does the removal, which is good.
Torrents or something, yeah.
Yeah, like Torrents, exactly. And then also, if you're in, like Orzhov-based decks, or if you're, like, any type of, like, aristocrats, then this is another one where, yeah, when it dies, it gives your opponent a token, but, like, who cares? And then you'll be reanimating it and reusing its ability over and over again. So I feel like by itself, maybe in a vacuum, it's worse than like a generous gift. But because there's so many white decks that take advantage of the synergies, I think it just becomes very, very good in a bunch of decks.
It also has the wording where you can flicker it before, right? So you can, or like sacrifice it before they get the thing back, because it's two text boxes.
Yeah, it does. You put the trigger on the stack and then blink it or something, and they won't get the token out of it.
Yeah.
I think maybe you've convinced me it's actually an atomer. Like, the more I think about Where's Equipment, which is big and white, it triggers all your, like, Mentor the Meek stuff since it's only a 2-2, so it's triggering all your, like, Creature Mentor's card draw stuff. It might actually just be good enough as just, like, a mono-white style card just because of all those extra synergies on top of it. So I liked it in Blink and, like, Panharmonicon style decks, but it might actually be a little better than I was giving it credit for.
It's exiling anything, 4 or less, is just, I'm sorry, that should be a good enough appeal, right? Like, it's so good.
Exiles One Ring.
I like this above, like, even, okay, well, I don't think Deadly Rollick
even
should
be Phil likes this, it. That's, like, insane. That's
I think it is, it's, like,
top of S.
High A. I think it's high A.
I think, yeah, high A is like, fine. Mm-hmm.
This one I think seems, it's above Beast Within.
Cool. Oh, really?
I don't know.
What do other people think about Beast Within? I guess it doesn't really matter. That's kind of quibbling at this point. Sure. I think Beast Within and Chaos, that group is like the top of A for me, but whatever. Close enough.
I agree with stuff, but I don't care.
Our last card. I saved this for last because I don't even think it should be on our list today, but that's why it's here, because we want to talk about it. Yes, we have the wild card here today. Orcish Bowmasters, undoubtedly an S-tier commander card, but is it an S-tier targeted removal spell or targeted removal at all? So it's a 2-mana 1/1 Orc Archer. It has flash when it enters, and whenever an opponent draws a card, except for the first one that they draw on each of their draw steps, it deals 1 damage to any target and you amass Orcs 1. So if you look at our grades on this, obviously Tomer and Krim have it as S because it is an S-tier card. Me and Phil had it as Fs because we didn't think it counted as targeted removal. I'm curious what the argument is for this being targeted removal. Like,
I think
because it means something for one.
It is
might have changed my opinion. I think it's not a target removal. It's a board wipe.
I guess
it's a more like a punisher. You're just like, everybody's drawing cards. They're like, oh, I guess I'll take 5 over here and then 5 over here and then
You know,
but it kills creatures and it targets.
I'm actually gonna go lower than an S, not what? Because it's a board wipe. I think
it's
okay,
also a finisher.
I think an F is wrong. But I as someone who plays this in every deck, this is always one of my game changers.
I hate you.
I've found that more often than not, the one I want to kill, no one draws enough for me to kill. So I have to just keep, this is just like it destroys little pingers and tokens and things like that, really. Like, it doesn't actually answer the problematic creature I want it to. So, because
really?
I find that when this hits the board, everyone starts drawing real responsibly. You know what I mean? What happened to all that? right? So, I mean, sometimes maybe if someone casts a big draw spell, yeah, I get in there and they can deal like 6 damage or something like that, right? But I find that more often than not, you know, like, you want to start getting the advantage going early with Orcish Bowmasters. So holding it until like turn 9 to get that one big gotcha moment off like a March of the Ents or something, I don't know. I think this is actually probably closer to like a for spot removal, I think it's like a B. I think it's like a B.
No. I cannot imagine a world where it's not a D, at least, for spot removal. Like, your opponent plays a commander. I could name hundreds, literally hundreds of other cards that would be better at killing that thing.
Murder.
Orcish Bowmaster. Yeah, like, the list is so super long. Like, yeah, I could see scenario where it kind of works like spot removal, where, like, in the right scenario, there's a big creature, someone casts on their Seagate Restoration, you flash it in. So, like, scenario-wise, it can work like that. But then there's going to be a lot of times where it's just a really strong card that's, like, keeping people from drawing cards, but not actually killing what you want to kill.
I don't conceptualize it as a removal spell. I would never put this in my deck thinking, oh, that's one of my removal slots, went to Orcish Bowmaster. I put it in a lot of decks just because it's a really strong card and it stops people from popping off with card draw and it does kill things or kill people. So I put it in a lot of decks. I just don't conceptualize it as a removal spell, really.
So my opinion on this, I agree with all you said, and I would put it like D in target removal, but my opinion on this card is a little bit warped because I disagree with Krim's assessment, because I've been in a lot of games with Krim and Seth, and every single time, this is what happens. Krim plays Orcish Bowmaster, and then he says, hey, Seth, if you draw more cards, I'll blow up all of Tomer's stuff. And then Seth is like, okay. And sure. Just draws stupid amounts of cards because that's like half the cards in Seth's deck is just draw five cards. And then all my crap gets blown up. And then I'm getting hit by a 2020 Orc army. And it's just like, I didn't draw a single extra card. I'm sitting there minding my own business. And then Crimson's like, hey, Seth, just keep doing what you're doing. And then Seth's like, you're not going to hit me. And Crimson's like, not yet. And then Seth was like, okay. No, and then I just like, all my crap is just annihilated. Annihilated.
That's more of a mark on me knowing what Seth and like Phil like doing. Yeah, right? Like Phil and Seth love drawing.
Played like a fiddle. Every time.
I will say, I think that's why this is actually a really bad card design for Commander. Like, I think fact that you can snipe other people's stuff really works. Like, if this only sniped the person who was drawing the cards, it would actually be kind of a neat design, right? I would still be annoyed by it because I like drawing lots of cards, but it would actually be, I think, maybe a fun design in some ways, or at least a healthy design where I could see it answering a problem where people like me just spend all their time drawing cards and you should probably be able to punish them for it. But I think the fact that it plays like Tomer said a lot of the time, where it's like, oh, you team up with the person that has the Bowmaster and they call out everyone else's stuff, or like snipe their face and take him out of the game, it makes it way less fun because someone not even involved with any of it just ends up catching so many strays off this card and just like getting taken out of the game when they really aren't drawing cards at all. So I think the design's actually really poor for just the wording's really poor for Commander. They should have tweaked it a little bit.
I think it's great.
Children. Yeah, because he's the one casting it every single time.
Yeah,
obviously.
It works out good for Krim.
I'm always the one on the receiving end. I'm like, what's up? You want to help me help people a little
Tomer
bit? I promise I'll kill you second. And then
it's not even
like,
a respect. What are we doing?
Really,
just a random rant.
Yeah, it's your fault for playing creatures, Tomer. If you didn't have any creatures, they wouldn't die to Bowmaster. I'm just saying. So it really
maybe you should have been drawing more cards, Tomer, and then maybe I could have.
You all actually convinced me here. I think I agree with Seth and Phil. This is kind of a bad removal spell. It is kind of bad. Let's say that it's not that good. I think, you know what? Okay, it's a C. It's bad at being spot removal, but it is good at draw punishing, and I like
it. It's good at punishing Tomer when I
draw punishing
cards.
Or draw teaming up with.
Well, it depends. All right, you know? Like
after
okay,
all this,
but it's not a D. It's not a D. Come
that'd
on,
be
guys.
Funny,
be
though.
Real. Be real for 30 seconds.
That would be a good.
Be
no,
serious.
That'd be a good. Wouldn't that be a good clickbait thumbnail and be like, Orcish Bowmaster D.
I don't think that's clickbait. I would stand behind as targeted removal it being D tier. I honestly believe it is D tier as targeted removal.
No,
we'll
it's
S tier as a card. It's S tier.
We leave it there.
It's
targeted removal.
But then at a C.
Just for you, Krim.
Better or worse than reality.
We're going to lose all credibility if we put this at a D. I'm just saying.
And scene.
On that note, everyone, that's been our tier list of targeted removal in Commander.
Orcish Bowmaster is worse than reality.
Yes,
worse than reality shift it is.
You heard it here, folks.
Dude,
anyway, everyone. That is our targeted removal tier list. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Let us know what you think we got right, what we got wrong. Like I said before, I'll post our whole list in the description. So if you want to see all the other cards that we ranked, and you can see our old rankings too and how we've changed over the years, click on the description. You can check that out. So thanks for watching, everyone. I hope you enjoyed it. And we'll be back next week to talk some more Commander. So until then, have an amazing week. And this is a crew signing out.